Medieval History, 7th grade, Tuesday, May 5th. History Unit, The Crusades. Lesson 2, Origins of the Crusades. Lesson 2, Socratic Guiding Question. What could motivate people to sell much or all they have, possibly leave their families behind, and journey halfway across the known world to a foreign land? Objective. Be able to do this by the end of this lesson. Number 1. Explain the causes of the Crusades. Number 2. Evaluate why people went on them. Introduction. Number 1. Draw a line around the area that was Christianized by 600 AD on this map. Number 2. Circle, highlight, the 5 Christian patriarchates, cities of great historical importance to Christianity. They include Rome, Alexandria, Antioch, Constantinople, and Jerusalem. Next map, number 3. Which of the 5 Christian patriarchates were conquered by Islam by the year 750 AD? Antioch had gone back and forth several times, but was only recently reconquered prior to the Crusades by the Seljuk Turks in 1084, and still had a larger Christian population. Background. The Holy Land, especially Jerusalem, was the land where the historical man Jesus was born, lived, and walked, and loved those around him. Christians believe that Jesus, being also God, was tortured and died by the gruesome Roman method of crucifixion, and took human sin on himself, and he rose from the dead, giving humans the chance to attain the eternal joy of heaven with him, if they believe in him. For Christians, Jerusalem was the central location of all human history. As such, it always was an important place. Christians had gone on pilgrimage to Jerusalem to see the places where Jesus walked from early times. A surviving pilgrimage itinerary from France to Jerusalem is dated 333 AD. You may remember that after Arab Muslims conquered Jerusalem in 638 AD, the original policy towards Christians was religious toleration in exchange for a yearly tax. As part of the policy of toleration, Christian churches were allowed to remain. Christians were allowed to practice their faith without being forced to accept Islam. And pilgrimages continued from all over Europe. Christians in the West regularly sent alms, money, and goods to the Christians in the Holy Land. And Charlemagne had even established the Christian areas of Jerusalem as a state under Frankish protection. However, the Islamic policy of toleration of Christians changed in 1009 AD when the Muslim Caliph, ruler of Egypt, ordered the destruction of all Christian churches in Jerusalem, including the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, built on the location of Jesus' crucifixion and burial. The rise of the Seljuk Turks, a different group of Muslims, further endangered pilgrims, and even threatened the Eastern Roman Byzantine Empire. By the time of the First Crusade, 1096, Christians in Jerusalem had been so severely persecuted that all were forced to leave the city. Question. How did the Islamic policy toward Christians in the Holy Land change between 638 and 1096? Pope Urban II's call to crusade. In 1073, Pope Gregory VII had seriously contemplated leading a force of 50,000 men in order to re-establish Christian unity, repulse the Turks, and rescue the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, but was forced to abandon this project because of the investiture controversy. Pope Urban II, however, took up the plans of Gregory VII and exhorted the Christians in Clermont, France, in 1095 in this way. Please read and annotate. O race of Franks, We wish you to know what a grievous cause has led us to your country, what peril threatening you and all the faithful has brought us. From the confines of Jerusalem and the city of Constantinople, a horrible tale has gone forth and very frequently has been brought to our ears, namely, that a race from the kingdom of the Persians, an accursed race, a race utterly alienated from God, a generation, forsooth, which has not directed its heart and has not entrusted its spirit to God, has invaded the lands of those Christians and has depopulated them by the sword, pillage, and fire. It has led away a part of the captives into its own country, and a part it has destroyed by cruel tortures. It has either entirely destroyed the churches of God or appropriated them for the rites of its own religion. They destroy the altars after having defiled them with their uncleanness. When they wish to torture people by a base death, they perforate their navels, and dragging forth the extremity of the intestines, bind it to a stake. Then, with flogging, they lead the victim around until the viscera, having gushed forth the victim, falls prostrate upon the ground. Others, they bind to a post and pierce with arrows. Others, they compel to extend their necks, and then, attacking them with naked swords, attempt to cut through the neck with a single blow. What shall I say of the abominable rape of the women? To speak of it is worse than to be silent. The kingdom of the Greeks, the Byzantine Empire, is now dismembered by them and deprived of territory so vast in extent that it cannot be traversed in a march of 2 months. On whom, therefore, is the labor of avenging these wrongs and of recovering this territory incumbent, if not upon you? You, upon whom, above other nations, God has conferred remarkable glory in arms, great courage, bodily activity, and strength to humble the hairy scalp of those who resist you. Let the deeds of your ancestors move you and incite your minds to manly achievements. The glory and greatness of King Charles the Great, Charlemagne, and of his son Louis, and of your other kings, who have destroyed the kingdoms of the pagans, and have extended in these lands the territory of the Holy Church. Let the Holy Sepulchre of the Lord our Savior, which is possessed by unclean nations, especially incite you, and the holy places which are now treated with humiliation and irreverently polluted with their filthiness. Oh, most valiant soldiers and descendants of invincible ancestors, be not corrupt, but recall the valor of your progenitors. But if you are hindered by love of children, parents, and wives, remember what the Lord says in the Gospel. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Let none of your possessions detain you. No solicitude for your family affairs, since this land which you inhabit, shut in on all sides by the seas and surrounded by the mountain peaks, is too narrow for your large population. Nor does it abound in wealth, and it furnishes scarcely food enough for its cultivators. Hence, it is that you murder one another, that you wage war, and that frequently you perish by mutual wounds. Let therefore hatred depart from among you, let your quarrels end, let wars cease, and let all dissensions and controversies slumber. Enter upon the road to the Holy Sepulchre. Wrest that land from the wicked race, and subject it to yourselves, that land which, as the Scripture says, floweth with milk and honey, was given by God into the possession of the children of Israel. Jerusalem is the navel of the world. The land is fruitful above others, like other paradise of delights. This the Redeemer of the human race has made illustrious by his advent, has beautified by his residence, has consecrated by suffering, has redeemed by death, has glorified by burial. This royal city, therefore, situated at the center of the world, is now held captive by his enemies and is in subjection to those who do not know God, to the worship of the heathens. She seeks, therefore, and desires to be liberated, and does not cease to implore you to come to her aid. From you, especially, she asks succor, because, as we have already said, God has conferred upon you, above all nations, great glory in arms. Accordingly, undertake this journey for the remission of your sins, with the assurance of the imperishable glory of the kingdom of heaven. When Pope Urban had said these and very many similar things in his elegant discourse, he so influenced to one purpose the desires of all who were present that they cried out, "It is the will of God, it is the will of God, Deus vult." Whoever, therefore, shall determine upon this holy pilgrimage, and shall make his vow to God to effect, and shall offer himself to him as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, shall wear the sign of the cross of the Lord on his forehead or on his breast. When truly, having fulfilled his vow, he wishes to return, let him place the cross on his back between his shoulders. Such, indeed, by the twofold action, will fulfill the precept of the Lord, as he commands in the gospel, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Questions. What reasons does Pope Urban II give for people to go on this crusade? Provide at least three. Closing. Many false ideas have skewed the popular understanding of the Crusades in the past several centuries. Most of these false ideas were popularized by thinkers in the Enlightenment era, 1700s, namely Voltaire, Hume, Diderot, Gibbon, who had a strongly anti-Christian worldview and twisted history in order to make Christianity look bad. The most prevalent of these ideas was that most people went on the Crusades in pursuit of land, booty, and wealth, and the Crusades were thus the first episode in the history of greedy European imperialism. In reality, however, the Crusades were a fundamentally defensive attempt by Christians to retake territory previously held by Christians, which the Muslims had conquered. Historians have consistently demonstrated that the goals of most Crusaders were religious. They went first to free the Holy Land and the Christians who lived there from Muslim persecution and make safe routes for future pilgrims. Crusaders were also pilgrims and often went to make amends for their sins, penance. Further, going on a crusade was incredibly expensive. Most people who went on them had to sell much, if not at all, of what they owned to finance it, and few actually gained material goods in return. Moreover, most people returned home soon after the end of their crusade, not interested in seeking land or further wealth in new lands far from home. Nevertheless, it is true that many crusaders lost sight of their original goals. Some leaders turned to opportunities to rule cities in the east without fulfilling their vows to go to Jerusalem. Some soldiers became gold hungry when they captured a city, and many slaughtered innocent people without cause. Ultimately, the Crusades had a just cause and were waged for deeply religious reasons, yet they were often seriously morally flawed in their execution. Explain why people went on the Crusades in one to two sentences. This concludes the material for Tuesday, May 5th.